Mark chapter 7, verses 9 to 13. And Jesus said to them, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is Corban,' then that is a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus, you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like that." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time in your word this morning. We thank you for your grace that you give us to come to your word. We just ask, Lord, that in this time, your truths might guide us, you might direct us and strengthen us, and help us to hear what you have for us this morning. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me ask you a question. When you were younger, did you ever go into the house and you see a plate of goodies sitting on the table that your mom or your dad had made, and you go to grab one, and they go, "Uh-uh, not for you"? Do you ever have that happen to you?
I haven't now.
Happens. Yeah, sometimes it does happen now. Yeah, that's not for you. How did you react when that happened?
My cousin and I always went back when there was not an adult.
When no one was looking, you went back.
That's right.
Ah, okay.
We snitched. Well, it was my grandmother's peanut butter fudge.
Ah, okay. Anyone else?
I can tell on this one. Uh-huh. I made cupcakes with blue icing for his school the next day. They didn't survive the night.
Uh-huh. Well, you knew they were good then, didn't you? All right, let's say you're in need of a tool. Maybe you're working in the kitchen or you're working in your workshop and you need a tool. And you go to your neighbor to ask to borrow one, only to be told that it's not for you to use. You can't have it, even though you see it laying there on the table or on the workbench. How do you feel? What's the first thing that goes through your mind?
Not a very good neighbor.
That's rude.
See if I let you borrow any of my stuff again. Right? I mean, isn't that the way we usually come out with these things? You know, it's amazing how hurt we get in our hearts when we think we deserve something, especially when it's from someone close to us, someone who we have helped or has helped us often before. And they don't even offer a good reason, in our opinion, for not letting us have it. They just say, "It's not for you." Proverbs 3:27 says, "Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act." You know, how do you find the balance in that? Well, in verse 9, Jesus says to the Pharisees and the scribes, he says, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions." Well, I'm going to read verse 8. He says to them, he says, "You have let go the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions." You see, Jesus reinforces what he said in verse 8 and verse 9, and then he adds to it. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees were setting aside God's commands and setting up their own rules instead. This means they were putting themselves above God, making themselves their own gods. In other words, they're determining what's good for them and what isn't. Gee, wasn't that the first temptation that Eve faced in the garden? That you might know and be like God? That you would know good from evil? And this is what they were doing. What does it mean to have a marriage annulled? I know, where'd that come from, right? What does it mean to have a marriage annulled?
Like it didn't happen.
Like it didn't happen, right? Done, over with, nothing ever happened. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes were doing this by nullifying God's infallible commands in order to confirm their own fallible traditions. We talked about this last week. What's the problem with man's word? It changes. You know, we change our mind. Just look at the laws that have changed over the years. And you go like, wow. You know, and we're supposed to obey these things? Psalm 12, verse 6 says, "And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified seven times." The seven times means they're perfect. Okay? See, to nullify means to render invalid, to have no legal or binding force. This means that they were saying God's commands were not for them. They were not bound to obey them. You know, the sad part about this is they claim to be God's chosen people. They claim to serve God with all their lives, and yet they put aside what God says, his commands, for their own comfort, benefit, or desire. Well, that's not for me because I don't like what it says. Ooh, have you ever met any people that are like that? And when you talk to them about the Bible, they're like, well, I don't like all of the Bible. You know, I don't like the Old Testament. Too much killing in it. How do you respond to them?
Just get your scissors out.
You know? Jeremiah 2:13 says, this is the Lord speaking, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." You see, God is saying that the people have turned away from him, forsaken what he has given them, and run after their own will and their own desires, their own words and their own truths. They have told God that what he has for them is not for them, in their opinion, turning away from God's perfect will for them. Verse 10. "For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death." See, in order to prove his point, Jesus gives them an example of how they're nullifying God's word for their own benefit. He does this by quoting Moses in the Old Testament. Jesus knew that what Moses wrote down for the Israelites was God's word directly from God, and because it was from God, it was to be followed and it was to be obeyed. Matthew quotes in Matthew 15:4 the same incident. There we go. That's the word I want. "For God said, honor your father and mother. Anyone who curses his father and mother will be put to death." See, Matthew puts "for God said," and Mark puts "Moses said." See, for Jesus and for all the other apostles, there's no difference between Moses and God, because God had Moses write what he wanted him to write so that the people would follow it. In 2 Peter 1:20 and 21, it says, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." And Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." You see, these were God's words to his people, and they were to be obeyed and not ignored. What does it mean to honor someone close to you? Do you ever think about it? Respect? See, Jesus quotes from part of one of the positive Ten Commandments. In Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, "Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land your God is giving you." Deuteronomy 5:16 says the same thing as well. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. See, this command is clear that the children are to honor their mothers and fathers. This is far more than just being obedient to them. It's an inner heart attitude to honor them. This means to love, highly regard, to show a spirit of respect and consideration toward them. They are to have a place of high regard and authority over the child's life, no matter how old they are. Gee, how's our nation doing with this today? Isn't it sad? I've seen people from other countries, especially more third world nations, come here and go like, "I can't believe the way you treat your elderly." You know, it is so sad. You cast them aside. In our society, we honor them. We want them to be part of our lives and give us the wisdom that they've gained over all the years. You see, Jesus says that there is severe punishment for not honoring the father and mother. Leviticus 20, verse 9, "If anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. He has cursed his father and mother, and his blood will be on his own head." It also says that in Exodus 21, 17, and Deuteronomy 21, and Proverbs 30, and Proverbs 20, 20. If you read Proverbs this morning, chapter 20, you saw that in verse 20. See, God was quite serious about this command and to have it repeated over and over again. You know, when God says something several times, he says, "Are you paying attention? Are we paying attention, Lord?" How would you define a loophole?
A way to get out of things,
yes. Verses 11 and 12. "But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is Corban,' that is a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother." You see, what the scribes and the Pharisees and really the Jewish leaders were teaching the people how to nullify God's word. You would think that the command was very clear in the Old Testament, and the consequences for not obeying it were very clear as well. How many times was it repeated? Let's see, 5 times that I know of, it's repeated. And yet they say, "Okay, we're going to give you guys a loophole around this. We're going to show you a way around this so you don't have to do what God commands. So you don't have to bear this heavy burden that was laid upon you to honor your parents by supporting them in their old age or when needed." It's kind of like that bumper sticker you see on RVs today, "Spending my kids' inheritance." Well, see, these people were going around with bumper stickers on their wagons said, "Spending the help my parents deserve." See, the scribes and the Pharisees were teaching that any help that the parents could get could be avoided by calling it Corban, a gift or offering set apart for God. And by doing this, the children were telling the parents that whatever they might have received from them as a way of help is no longer an obligation for them to keep. Expositor's Bible Commentary defines it Corban like this: "A gift devoted to God could no longer be designated for his parents. By devoting a gift to God, a son did not necessarily promise it to the temple, nor did he prevent its use for himself. What he did was exclude legally his parents from benefiting from it. In other words, he was telling his parents, this isn't for you. This is not for you. Verse 13. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you have done many things like that. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees, hypocrites, as Jesus was calling them, were going directly against God's word, and they were teaching people to do the same thing. Now, are there consequences for that? Yeah, James tells us in James 3:1, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Titus, Paul writes to Titus, says, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. These people were not teaching sound doctrine. They were invalidating God's word by removing his authority from it, from the fifth commandment. And there are consequences for not following it. God would judge them severely for this. It would not be long before they lost their country, their city, their temple, and everything they owned. And then to top it all off, they were setting a precedent for their man-made rules, putting their rules above God's word. And Jesus adds that this isn't the only place that they were doing this. This is just one example of their practices and putting their traditions above God's word and his commands. You see, once we defy God in one area of our lives, it becomes easier and easier to defy him in other areas. Anytime they or we put traditions, what we think, above God's word, we are nullifying God's authority over our lives. And it's clear that there's going to be consequences for that if there's no repentance. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6 says, every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. Deuteronomy 4, 2, do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I have given, that I give you. Revelation 22, 19, if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. See, God says this, you go against my word, there's consequences for it. And Jesus is pointing out to the scribes and the Pharisees that they are in a progression into sin. First, they lay aside God's word. In verse 8, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. They said, God's word's not for me. Then they reject God's word. Verse 9, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. They reject God's word, and then they start replacing it with man's truth. What they say is man's truth. They are setting up man's word as the authority over their lives. Verse 13, thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. See, there's a progression here into sin. It's a slippery slope for us. And it was a slippery slope for them. See, we can even do this by not obeying what God commands and substituting our own opinion, what we think, over obedience. You know, it goes back to God said it, I believe it, that does it. If we say that, then we have to obey that, right? Yeah. See, it doesn't have to be a formal directive from some man-made authority. It doesn't have to be some hierarchy in like the Pope or the Archbishop or some other person who's saying, you got to do this. But it can be our own choice to disobey God's word by saying, Lord, that's not for me. That doesn't apply to me. When God goes, oh, really? See, by doing so, we're acting as our own gods. So have we started down the road of progression into sin by laying aside God's word, saying, it's not for me? See, this is the slippery slope that we can get on, and it's easy once we start down it to slide all the way to removing God's authority over all our lives. And that's what they did. And that's where we need to be so careful to say, Lord, it's all for me. Everything you gave me, all the principles in your word, all the promises in your word are for me, and I need to stand on them and in them and not deny them, setting myself up as a God over them. So how do we stand today before the Lord? Does his word take authority over all our lives? Every area of our life? Or are we saying, well, Lord, you know, I don't like that one. That one's not for me. When God's going, oh yeah, it is. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that sometimes it's hard to swallow some of these truths and to put them to work in our lives and in our hearts. But Father, you give them to us for protection. You give them to us for direction, for strengthening, and for holding us closer to you as we honor you, Father, above all others. So guide and direct us, Lord, as we seek your word and your truths. Help us to stand firm in them. Help us to love and honor and serve you through them. And help us, Father, to live them the way you would have us to, that you would be glorified in and through it. We thank you for what you do. We thank you for your word and your grace that you give us to walk in it, and your Holy Spirit that you give us to guide us through it. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.